Thank you for joining us for the True Life Fellowship Church podcast. Here is today's message from Pastor Devon Alexander.
This morning, the title of this message is The Key to Success. And spoiler alert, I'm going to go ahead and tell you the key to success, but I don't want you to check out. I want you to pay attention. Jesus, when he was teaching, he said that a lot to the crowd. Pay attention, because we get comfortable. And so throughout this message, you may become comfortable sitting there and you may say, I know these verses, but I want you to pay attention. I want you to expect, because I know that God's going to show up today, and he's showing up in each and every one of your life, and he's not just speaking to one person. He has a word for each and every person here today. So the key to success is to be consistent with God, because God is consistent with you. God never changes. So as we go through the message, I want you to think about that word consistency. And I really want to challenge you today. I want you to reflect and examine your life of how consistent are you. Think about all areas of your life, spiritually, physically, financially, socially, in your relationships. Would someone say you are a consistent person? Or are we flaky? Are we moved by our emotions and the things around us? So I really want you to think about that word, consistency. And praying for this message, I felt the Lord saying that there is a shift taking place in the spirit realm, that there is a shift that's taking place and a breakthrough that is coming in the kingdom of heaven, in the kingdom of God. And I believe that it's happening in our lives. I think that there is a distinction that there's always been a distinction between God's people and those of the world, but I think that it's heightened now. I think that it's becoming more prevalent, that it is becoming more visible. Last year, the Lord gave us a word that we were a visible display. I believe that it's becoming more visible, that there is a difference between the people of God and those that have a consistent relationship with him and those of the world. We're going to know when we see people that say, I am a Christian, but they have no fruit. You're going to hear people say, I'm a Christian, and you're going to know what that means. They spend time with God. God shows up in their life because they are consistent. The key to success is to be consistent with God. And I believe that God is doing a new thing in this earth, a new thing in your life. And that is why he continues to speak through pastor and other people of saying, don't become so familiar with the word of God that you just think you know it all. Don't become so comfortable that you just, you go through the motions. Really seek God for a newness in your life, a breaking in your life, breaking off the old ways, the old just traditional ways, and open your heart to the new things that God is going to do. He said he's going to pour out his spirit. Well, we have to be expecting that, and that might look different than what we expect. It may be new, and that's okay. And as we're walking in this breakthrough, and as we're walking in this shift, in this newness, I want you to realize that the enemy, Satan, he is not going to just roll out a red carpet for you and say, oh, walk in this newness and all the goodness of God. There are going to be adversaries that come across your path. And so today, when we're talking about success, the world would define success as having a lot of money. But if you have a lot of money and you're sick in your body, what does that do for you? If you have a healthy body and a lot of money in the bank, but you're sick in your soul and your relationships are falling apart, that is not success. If you are healthy and you have great relationships, but you can't pay your bills, that's not success. Success is being consistent with God, knowing that God is always going to come through for you, that you are developing the nature of God in you. And so I want us to open our Bibles this morning. We're going to look at a lot of different verses and different translations. We're going to look in John 10:10. This is the New King James Version. It says, "The thief, which is our enemy, does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I," this is Jesus speaking to you, "have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." If Jesus did not want you to have a successful life, he would not have said that's his purpose for coming to this earth. And he just said the purpose of the enemy is to steal, kill, and destroy, to put you in lack, to put you in sickness, to put you in bondage. But Jesus said, "My purpose that I came to this earth to die for you is so that you may have life." This is life in all areas. He's wanting us to have spiritual life, first of all, salvation, a relationship with him. He wants us to have physical healing and health in our body. He wants us to be prosperous so that we can go and be a blessing. He wants our relationships flourishing without strife and discord. Let's take a look at that in the New Living Translation. John 10:10 says, "The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give you a rich and satisfying life." So I want to challenge you this morning, and I almost cringed when God said, "I want you to give them a challenge," because I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want anybody mad at me. But the challenge is, if you are not walking in a rich and satisfying life, then you're not walking in the purpose of Jesus. And so I'm going to come back to that. So don't get mad. Don't get up and leave. Don't cut the broadcast off or the podcast. Just wait for just a minute. It's okay to sit and be uncomfortable for just a minute. But the challenge is am I living a rich and satisfying life? Because if I'm not, then I am not walking in the purpose that Jesus died for me. We just celebrated last week that Jesus, our Savior, he got on that cross and it cost a lot. And then he freely gave it to us. If I'm not walking in a rich and satisfying life, the purpose that Jesus came to give me a life in abundance to the full, till it overflows, rich and satisfying, then I need to make changes because Jesus already did everything. So what changes do I have to make? So let's take a look at Matthew. We're going to look in chapter 16, verse 19. This is the New King James Version. This is Jesus speaking to his followers, his disciples, to us. He said, "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." We have a part to play in God's plan. Jesus himself said, "I am giving you the keys of the kingdom. I'm giving you the keys. You have the keys to live a rich and satisfying life." So if you are not living a rich and satisfying life, if you are not living in the purpose that I, Jesus, died for, it is your fault. You have some changes to make. I'm giving you the keys. And it's very important when you think about that verse when he says, whatever you bind on earth and whatever you loose on earth. How do we bind and loose in the spirit realm? Well, we imitate our Father. We open our mouth. We use our words. That is why so many times pastors like, "Open your mouth. Say something back." Because you need to release your faith. And so here Jesus is telling us, "I have given you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." We play a part in God's plan. Let's take a look at Luke 10:19. This is a very, very familiar verse. So we're going to camp on this for a minute. Because again, I don't want you to be comfortable just thinking you know this. This actually was one of the first verses when I was in youth group that the youth leader had us memorize, and we would say this all the time. So don't be comfortable with it. It says, "Behold, Jesus speaking again, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. That is just another word for demons, the enemy, principalities. I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. We're going to stay right there for a minute. If you don't mind leaving that up on the screen so we can just look at that. This is Jesus. Now, we're talking about the key to success. The key to success is being consistent with God. Well, here Jesus is telling us to live a rich and satisfying, abundant life, operating in overflow, you are going to have to use your authority that I have given you. Jesus told them, I'm going away, but I am not leaving you. You are not an orphan. I am sending the advocate. I'm sending you the teacher, the counselor. I am sending the Holy Spirit to live within you, and I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. So when you open your mouth, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose is loosed in heaven. And now I'm giving you the authority over all the power of the enemy. He's covered it. So if we're not living a rich and satisfying life, we have to look back at us and say, what do I need to do to change so that I am operating in the fullness of God? Let's take a look at this in the message. It's Luke 10:19, but the message kind of expands it a little bit. It says, Jesus said, I know I saw Satan fall. He is defeated. I don't care what the world says and what people say. Satan is defeated. He will never gain any more power. His lease to this fallen world is running out. And he knows that. We don't have to be afraid of him. If we could see in the spirit realm, and there's a verse in the Bible, I honestly don't know where it's at right now, but there's a verse where it says in the end, we're going to look and say, was that him that ruled the nations? If we could see in the spirit realm, he is way more afraid of a spirit-filled believer who knows their authority than we are of him. It says, Jesus said, I know I saw Satan fall, a bolt of lightning out of the sky. See what I've given you. Now here is what Jesus is saying, I have given you. I have given you safe passage as you walk on snakes and scorpions. So as you walk this earth with all of this spiritual activity, and I've given you safe passage and protection from every assault of the enemy. No one can put a hand on you. This is a promise for you to claim. When we claim Psalms 91, right here, Jesus has given us the authority. No one can put a hand on us. When we are operating in the love of God and we're operating in our protection, it says, all the same, the great triumph is not in your authority over evil, but in God's authority over you and presence with you. Not what you do for God, but what God has done for you. That's the agenda for rejoicing. So when I challenged you in the beginning, it wasn't to offend you and make you think, well, maybe I'm not living a rich and satisfying life, and to make you mad. It was to stir you up. It was to wake you up and say, I want you to evaluate your life. Have I become so comfortable and so familiar with the things of God that I'm not getting up each and every day expecting that something great is going to happen to me? And the reason I need to expect that something great is going to happen to me and my family is so that I can go out and be the hands and feet of Christ, and so that I can cause something great to happen to somebody else. That is why we are to live a rich and satisfying life, because you can make things happen. You can make things change. We hear it with motivational speakers. They want to stir you up and say, you're a change maker and you can change the world. And it's okay. It's great. But it's incomplete, because if you don't have the anointing of God and if you don't have that anointing in you, you're going to just wear yourself out, you're going to burn out, and you're going to quit. But if you have that zeal in you and you wake up every day knowing, okay, Jesus died for me. He said I can have a rich and satisfying life. He's given me the keys to the kingdom of heaven. He's given me authority over all the power of the enemy. So that no matter what happens today, I know that I'm going to come through on the other side and I'm going to be victorious. And now I'm going to go out and I'm going to share that with other people. That is the purpose that Jesus came to give us. And so as we're looking at this, God gave Pastor a word for this year, and he said, pray more in 24. So we think about that. God is saying, I want you to commune with me more. I want you to spend time with me, not last, but first. Put me first. Read your Bible more. Listen to praise and worship me more. Why do we need to come before God and do more in his presence? It is because the more time you spend with somebody, you begin to act like them. This is why we tell our youth, and us as adults too, to be wise about who you hang out with. Because the more you hang out with that person, you start to talk like them. You start to think like them. You start becoming comfortable in doing the things that that person does. So the Bible says that bad company corrupts good character. And so the more time that we are praying and spending time in the presence of God our Father, the more we are going to take his nature on. And then we are able to share that nature with other people. You should walk into a room, and even if people don't know that it's God's anointing, they should know that something's different about you. You should be, there should just be a presence about you where people's like, I don't know necessarily what it is, but there's something different about you. And right then, that is a door open. That is a divine opportunity for you to share Jesus with that person. And so, as we are praying more in 24 and we're developing this relationship and taking on the nature of God, let's take a look at Colossians 3. Colossians 3, verse 2. This is in the Amplified Classic version. This helps us, you know, compare of the difference between acting like the world and the kingdom of God. It says, set your minds and keep them set on what is above, the higher things, not on the things that are on this earth. Let's leave that up for just a minute. So here Jesus is telling us, or God is telling us through Paul, that we have to do a few things. One, we need to spend more time with him. We need to know our authority in Christ. And we have to watch what we're thinking about. We have to set our mind on things above. God's not going to do that for you. You are a spirit. He's given you a soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions, and he's put you in a body. He's given us the responsibility to take care of this physical body with wisdom. And he's also given us the responsibility to think about what we're thinking about. And it matters. What you think about affects what you say, how you act, the habits that you make, and ultimately your character and your destiny. And so here he's saying, I want you to set your minds on things above, on the higher things, not on the things of this earth. I want you to think about Jesus' purpose, that the enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came that you may have a life that is in abundance till it overflows. And that is what we're to set our mind on, and we're to think about that every day, that we're to get up and expect him to show up and that he has great plans for us. And that is why when we are faced with challenges, we can look at lack. And when lack is right in our face, we can say, no, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches, not according to my job, not according to my spouse, not according to a rich family member. It's according to God's kingdom. And I'm not going to run out because I'm a tither. I'm a giver. I've got seed in the ground, and I'm not going to run out. I'm going to be abundant. Lack is not going to operate in my life. And we can say that with confidence. And we're not just saying it because we just want to be cute and say it. We believe it. We're releasing our faith. God, if He knows that you are consistent with Him and you are a giver and He has seen that you are consistent in blessing other people, then He is going to continue to pour out His blessing upon you because He can trust you. When you're in the face of sickness, we declare, it's not that sickness is never going to come, okay? We live in this world where the enemy every day, and he is tenacious. You know, he doesn't get weary and want to give up. He's wanting to attack and attack and attack you. He's here to steal, kill, and destroy, but we don't have to be afraid of it. Our Jesus defeated him, and we say, no, sickness is not going to live in my body. I thank you, Father, that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in me. It quickens this mortal body. Now, body, come into order in Jesus' name. You can remember, you have the keys to bind. You have the keys to loose. We're not just making up some doctrine. There are some Christians that do not agree with this. They do not like it. It makes them feel uncomfortable. But why? Why? Can they show us one verse where Jesus said, my purpose that I came was so that I could act like the enemy and steal from you and kill you and destroy you with sickness? That is not what Jesus said. He said, I love you. I want you to prosper. And so that's why we stand against sickness. And we say, no, I'm the healed. I declare that sickness has to leave my presence in the name of Jesus. The same with confusion. If you're in the face of confusion, you can say, thank you, Jesus, that I know what to do, even when I don't know what to do in my natural mind, because I have the wisdom of God. I have the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Wise choices watch over me. I'm not making these things up. These are verses that I have found in the Bible in times of trials, and I have wrote them down, and I've meditated upon them, and now they are in my spirit. So when I'm faced with these situations, out of the abundance of my heart, my mouth is going to speak. So I say from Proverbs 2, I say, wise choices watch over me. I'm responsible for a lot of things, and I need wise choices. I don't need my own knowledge. I thank you, Lord, that I have a sound, disciplined mind, and I can make correct choices. We can never be so comfortable with the Word of God that we just think we can go through everyday life and not need Him and rely on Him. There is funny because I think this could be true for, again, secular motivational speakers. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but I think it's incomplete. People have always said in public speaking, oh, the more you speak, the more comfortable you'll be. Well, for me, that is not true, ever. And I'm just like, okay, they say the more you get up and speak, the more comfortable you'll be. And I was making a joke about it with my husband, Josh, and I was praying about it. And then I felt in my spirit, well, I'm not a motivational speaker. I am called to bring a word from the Lord. If there is ever a time that I feel so comfortable that I could just get up here and not prepare and just tell you what I think the Bible says, is the moment that I need to walk up on this stage and walk right back down and sit down. Because you're not here to hear a word from some little girl up here on stage. You're here this morning to hear a word from God that will change your life. So we can't just be comfortable with it. So that is why when we are praying more in 2024, we are communing with God. We're hearing His voice clearly. We need to be in the Word of God, writing scriptures down, meditating upon it. Put it in what is applicable to your situation that you're going through. So that when you are faced with a trial, it's in you. You're ready. You're prepared. There's always two sides of a word that God will give you. You know, when He says, pray more in 24, we're like, yes, this is positive. We're going to pray more. We're going to hear more for God. But God knows what's coming. Great things. Newness, a shift, but we still have an enemy. So we also know something else is coming. We might not know what it is right now, but we're praying, we're preparing, We're getting ourselves ready. We're putting that armor of God on every day. We're praying in the Spirit to build ourselves up. So when something does come up, we're prepared. So that is why we're praying more in 24. I did want to share a story with you. These are personal things that God has done in my life this year. Just talking about being consistent with God. And I may say this wrong, so I apologize. This is something that the Lord said to Pastor, so I may say this wrong. But it was along the same line. Pastor had been praying, and God spoke to him one time, and he said, I will regulate your supply by your demand. Is that correct? So I'll regulate your supply by your demand. And that really stuck with me this year. So a lot of you know that God called me in after 2020, after everything with the pandemic. He called me to really step out of my comfort zone and to open my own business. And this is just not like my personality. I'm a homebody. I'm an introvert. I just don't want to do the things. Sometimes that God is like, this is what you're going to do. But I am willing, and I will do what God calls me to do. And so he called me to start a pediatric therapy business. And so I started out, and I said, okay, so it's just going to be me, and I'm trusting you, God, for this business. And it was not within maybe a month that God said, so now I want you to learn everything there is about insurance, how to bill insurance, and I want you to go into network with all these insurances because you need to grow so that you can provide more services for children in your area. Again, I'm an occupational therapist. I don't have the background to do all this extra stuff. It's hard. It's work. But God was saying, this is what I want you to do. And so with a lot of fear, I'm going to be transparent. With a lot of fear, I stepped out and was like, okay, God, there are so many corporations that do what I do. We live out in this little country town. How is this business going to grow? And you're wanting me to do this. But I said, okay, I will do it. I will be willing. And I was consistent with God. I would get up. I would spend time with him. I would pray. And I would say, God, I don't even know what to do today. What is my first step to do? And he was consistent with me. And he would show up and be faithful and give me wisdom. And within, I would say, maybe 6 months, we were already growing and growing to where I had to start hiring therapists. Again, I don't know how to do any of this because this is not my background. But God didn't say, let me look at her background. Let me look where she came from. Let me look at her bank account. He already knew all of that. He already had this purpose set in me before the creation of the world. And so within, you know, we're going to speed it up. Within 2 years, the first year, God tripled the business. This, and I'm not saying this today to brag on me. I am saying this because I believe, like I told you at the beginning, not to get comfortable and forget that word consistency and to pay attention, God has a word for each and every one of you sitting here today. I don't care how young you are, how old you are. I don't care your race. I don't care your gender. I don't care where you came from. I don't care if you have a background where you've always had money or you've never had money. God is not a respecter of persons, but he is 100% a respecter of faith. And if he will put something in your heart and call you and you are just willing to say yes and be consistent with him, you'll have success every single time. And he will regulate your supply by your demand that you put on him. And so today, we are now a team of 10. So in October, Pastor had a word for us, and we came up, and he was praying over us. And at that time, we were a team of 6 in October. And it is April now, and we just hired our 10th person. And every single time that God says, it's time to expand, it's time to expand, I'll be honest. I'm like, no. Like, How? So we have contractors. Our therapists are contractors. And so the last time, God's like, I want you to hire this therapist. I don't want to say I don't want them to watch, but I don't want them to hear this. I didn't really want to hire another therapist. It's more work with more responsibility. And here's the thing. People love success because they think, oh, I'm so successful. I'm in the spotlight. With more success is more responsibility. And the more people that you can help is the same amount of people you can hurt. And so I don't take it lightly when you have people that you are, you know, you've hired and they're, in a sense, in the natural, depending on you. I always will be very transparent with them and tell them that we depend upon God. So they know within this company, they know if this isn't for you, you can move on. But God kept saying, hire this person. And so I said, okay, Lord. And I said, Lord, and this was about a month ago. He said, hire this person. And I said, okay, I'm going to be honest with you. I may have one client for you. I don't have a full caseload for you. And this person's like, I really believe that this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to work for you. And I'm like, and God is saying, they're supposed to work for you. And I'm like, God, I have one client for this person. They're going to be putting in their notice. They're going to be starting. They need this amount. So I'm praying, and I said, God, I have a demand that I'm coming before you, and I need you to supply it. And I believe that I'm consistent with you, and I know that you are consistent with me. And the thank offering is coming up. And so I'm going to give my seed, not only personally, but also from the business. And I'm sowing this seed that, Lord, if you said for some reason that this person's supposed to be with our company, I believe you're going to open the door so that this person can prosper and that they can bless these families. So I'm trusting you. That's faith, childlike faith. I'm just trusting you. So that therapist started on Monday, and they have an extra 5 clients over. Wow. In 2 weeks, God moved. He caused referrals to come in. He caused families that didn't know that we were in that area to find us. And we are in a healthcare field to where people come to us with all kinds of different issues, but we're here to bless them and to help them and to serve them. And so here, God was showing up. And then God also put upon my heart, he said, do you remember when Pastor Sam was here? And I do remember because I've been confessing this and claiming this. He said, I'm declare an increase, and here, you take it too. It's for your life. This is why I'm sharing it. I'm calling an increase of clients, connections, contracts. Well, I said, thank you, Father, that we have an increase. I'm sowing my seed. I have an increase in clients and connections and contracts. Well, the ending of the story was also about 2 years ago, there was this one company, and I will not share the name. There was one company that said, you know, we don't need to go in a contract with you. It's a surplus of, you know, therapists in this area, which we live in a very small town. So I was like, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard, because families are going to have to drive 30 minutes each way to find a provider. But okay, you don't need our services. That's fine. Well, somehow, about 2 weeks ago, I have a therapist. I was out doing home visits, and she said, hey, I want you to know this company, there was a rep that stopped by. And I said, they drove out to our town and found the clinic and just stopped by? And she said, yeah, he said that he had a folder. He wanted to talk to you about being in contract. And I said, okay. I'll call him. And so I called him, and he was like, hey, I was looking, and I see how nothing ever came of this contract, and we have so many families out in your area that have our insurance, and they're asking for providers. You're right there. I said, I'm right here. I've been here. You're right. We can serve these families. And do you know, within 3 days, he had a contract already in place where they say it can take months? That is God's anointing. And why? Is it just so that I can say, oh, I have this business that's growing and flourishing? No, because there is a family that is out there praying, I have this issue with my child. With my child. And I don't want to have to drive here and there and there. I want a provider right here near my home, or somebody that can come in my home, because we go into homes as well. And they're praying, and God is hearing their prayer. And he says, wait a minute, I have a spirit-filled believer right here. And those prayers connect in the spirit realm, and boom, that is how manifestation happens. And it's not so I can stand up here and say, hey, look what I have. No, it's because I am successful in this area because I've been consistent with God, and God is consistent with me because he knows that we're going to go out and we're going to help that child. We're going to help that family in their time of need. And whatever profession you're in, whatever relationship you're dealing with today, whatever you're dealing with in your body, it's the same thing. God is consistent. He is waiting for you to release your faith and say, I want to walk in that rich and satisfying life. That is what he's waiting on us to do. That is why I said, don't get comfortable. What if I had just been like, no, I've decided I don't want to be in contract with that company. I don't want to have to figure out their portal and how to fill out all this paperwork. I don't want to do it. It may not have affected me. It may not. But it affected somebody else. It is not about all just us. It's not always about us. It's about who we can be a blessing to someone else. So let's take a look. We talked about in John 10:10, because I want you to also know the other side of that coin, that we do have an enemy. We know in John 10:10 it said that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came to give us an abundant life. Let's take a look at John 14:27. This is in the Amplified Version. This is Jesus talking to us. He says, peace I leave with you, my perfect peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Let my perfect peace calm you in every circumstance and give you courage and strength for every challenge. We praise God in that, and we say, oh, hallelujah, God's given us peace. Perfect peace, and that's awesome. But we have to continue to read the verse that says he's given us that peace. He's telling us, don't let your heart be troubled, because he knows that something's coming that's going to try to trouble your heart. And he says, don't. When it happens, stop. Don't allow yourself to be disturbed. He said, in every circumstance, I'm going to give you courage. I'm going to give you strength. For every challenge. He knew that challenges were going to come, but we can either go through a challenge in our own strength, or we can go through that challenge in God's strength. We're not getting out of the challenge, so we're going to have to pick which one are we going to do. Are we going to rely on God, or are we going to rely on our own strength? And here he's telling us, I've given you everything. I've given you peace. I've given you authority. I've given you the keys to bind and loose. He's setting us up for a rich and satisfying life. And I have to say, you know, in this world, so many people are looking for peace. There is not a pill that's going to give you perfect peace. There's not a drink that's going to give you perfect peace. There's not a person that is going to give you perfect peace. It is only Jesus Christ, period. So until we come to Jesus and say, I need more of you, we're not going to operate in that peace. And so as we go through our walk with Jesus, we have all these positive things, but we have to realize that there are negative things that are going to come up. But the difference is you have somebody with you who's going to stand by you and walk you through these challenges. And as I was praying, the Lord reminded me, so I've been meditating on Pray More in 2024. Also in December, God spoke a word to me that I wrote down, and I felt like it was just for our family. But then God said this morning, he said, I want you to share this word with the people that will hear it. So there's no mistake that those that are here today and those that are listening, that this is for you. I 100% believe God would never have me share a personal word for somebody else if it wasn't confirmation. So I believe that each one of you will have confirmation on this. In December, God spoke to me. He said, this year will be a year of triumph. And triumph is a great victory or achievement, a highly successful example of something, and a state of being victorious or successful. And so I was shouting, like, oh, hallelujah, I'm ready. This is great. And then 2024 hit, and just like Pastor said a few weeks ago, I believe it. This year has been an amazing year for me personally and my family, and it's also been one of the hardest years for us. Maybe a month ago, we received a health report over one of our children. We were already kind of standing and dealing with some things for one of our children, and then we got a report of something else that no parent ever wants to hear. And in that moment, it does shake you in a sense, right? There's a shaking, but praise God, we stand on a firm foundation. It may shake us, but it's not going to cause us to bow. And the enemy took that opportunity. He said, oh, let's use fear. I'm going to release fear. And so fear, that in the face of fear, we are standing for healing. And I didn't do anything different than I'm telling you. I went straight to the Word. And I said, no, we are applying the Word of God over this situation. And we're continuing to stand in that. And we'll continue to stand. Because we're not quitters. We're not going to give up. Because we know who's going through this with us. Then about 2 weeks ago, another situation came up with our other child. And this time, it dealt with confusion and strife and discord. And the enemy goes, I'm going to use anger this time. Let's use anger. And I don't know about you guys, whether you're a mom or you have a mom. There is a difference between angry and mama angry. When you mess with your kid, there's a difference. And so, again, I am not perfect. I repent, and I ask for mercy and grace. And I sat before God one night, and I said, okay, Lord, I need wisdom. I need to know what to say, when to say it, and how to say it. I need to know when to shut my mouth and when to open my mouth. And I need you to speak to me. And that's what he does. He shows up. He shows up each and every time. Now, here God gave me a word. This year would be a year of triumph. And I'm like, and I'm honest with God. I was like, God, I feel like every single week of this year, I have went through something. You know, and I'm talking to God. And at first I felt guilty, but then I thought, oh, the people in the Bible did the same thing. Right? They're like, oh, that I might die. You know, they're, you know, I'm a worm. So I was like, okay, Lord, you at least understand us. And I am sorry but that I am questioning your word. But I was like, I feel like here's a fire I have to put out. And then I turn around and the whole forest is on fire. You said it would be a year of triumph. And he said, what does the word overcomer mean? If you are an overcomer, you have to overcome something. I said, okay, I receive correction. I receive correction. If we are overcomers, we have to overcome something. So the rest of that word, he was like, and also if you will go back and remember exactly what I said to you, it's kind of like a parent to a child. What did I say? You focused on triumph, but what did I say? So it went on to say 2024 will be a year of triumph. You will rise above. That's where, you know, I like to stop and say, I'm rising, but that means I have to rise above something. You will rise above fear, anxiety, debt. Your children will rise above obstacles, for I am rewriting your story. This year is going to end in triumph. It said that we are going to have great victory, achievement, successful example of something, a state of being victorious and successful. We may go through something, but we have the keys to the kingdom to bind and loose. We have all the power and authority over the enemy so that nothing by any means shall harm us. Whether that's sickness, lack, strife, it's not going to harm us. The key to success is being consistent. Be consistent even when you feel like things are falling apart. God is consistent. He is faithful and He is true. And so as I prepare to close, I want you to know God said, I want you to share that word with the people that are present today. Because it's going to be for you too. So I want you to stand up and I'm going to declare this over you. This is for you. And I believe there's a confirmation for each and every one of you. Now He said, this is for anyone who will listen. He did not say this is for anyone who hears. There is a difference in hearing and listening. And I want to read this off the paper so that I do it with accuracy. Hearing is receiving sound waves in our physical ears. But listening is hearing and understanding what you hear. Listening is a choice to hear and analyze, where hearing is very passive. It's like being in the car and you have music playing and someone's talking. You can filter things out. You're still hearing it, but you're not comprehending because you're not paying attention. So remember when I said don't be comfortable. Pay attention today. Listening is an active process. That's why the Bible says to be a hearer and a doer. You're going to hear it, but listen and do it. Pay attention. It requires paying attention, empathy, curiosity, and motivation. So for anyone who would listen, this year is going to be a year of triumph for you. It's going to be a year of triumph for your family. You, each and every one of you who choose to listen today, will rise above fear, anxiety, debt. Your children will rise above obstacles. For God is rewriting your story this year. So we are receiving that this morning. We are thanking you, Father, for that. And no matter what comes this year, we're ready. We are praying more. We're reading the Word more. We're spending more time with God. We're cutting things off that just does not add to our life. We are thinking on things above because we are going to triumph over some things. And we need our mind thinking on things above. So in the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you for this word this morning. We receive it. We listen to it. We are hearers and doers of the word. And Father, I thank you that we are equipped to walk in your power and your strength. For whatever this year has for us, Father, we will overcome it in your power, in your strength. We will walk more in the gifts of the Spirit. We will walk more in the fruits of the Spirit. I thank you, Jesus, that as we spend more time with you, we will have your nature. So when things come at us fast, we don't have to react fast. We can stand in silence, maybe some awkwardness, and let people wait. We don't have to answer them right away. I thank you, Father, that we will use our words to edify this year. We will speak words of life and a power that our words mean something. And God, I thank you that as we're consistent with you, that you're consistent with us. You are faithful and you are good. And we love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to the ministry of Devon Alexander, pastor of True Life Fellowship Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more information, go to our website at www.truelifefc.org. You can also support this ministry financially through our website. Thank you, and remember to love, learn, live, and lead.